A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord God, cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Lift up your voice like a trumpet blast. Tell my people their wickedness and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day and desire to know my ways. Like a nation that has done what is just and not abandoned the law of their God. They ask me to declare what is due them, pleased to gain access to God. Why do we fast and you do not see it? Afflict ourselves and you take no note of it. Lo, on your fast day, you carry out your own pursuits and drive all your laborers. Yes, your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw. Would that today you might fast, so as to make your voice heard on high. Is this the manner of fasting I wish, of keeping a day of penance, that a man bow his head like a reed and lie in sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? This rather is the fasting that I wish, releasing those bound unjustly, untying the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Verbum Domini. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn.
A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin, cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense. My sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled. O God, you will not spurn.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii Secundum Matteum. Gloria tibi, Domine. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Verbum Domini, nosti mystere. We are still here in these beginning days of Lent. Now, I know that the friars are praying that you have a very blessed Lenten season, that it be a time of uniting with the Lord and being conformed to Him, and that it be very fruitful so that we all may grow in holiness. And to help us in our Lenten journey, the church gives us these readings to remind us of what our intention should be for sacrificing, for in the form of fasting, praying, and almsgiving. And these readings tell us today that what our intentions should be, and that these intentions should be pure. And what do I mean by pure? That they should be done for the love of God and not for the love of self or any type of selfish gain. And so here in the book of Isaiah, the prophet is telling us that he's speaking a message on behalf of the Lord. You know, the people are asking some questions here. It says, you know, we fast and we make these sacrifices, and nothing seems to be happening. Well, precisely what I'm saying here is that they have the wrong intentions. And at the same time, they're blinding themselves to what is needed, to what fasting should be producing. And what fasting should be resulting in: charity, mercy. And that's why the prophet says here that this is the kind of fast I want, that you give bread to the hungry, that you clothe the naked, or that you help those in need, that you don't turn your back on your own. And yeah, these are all things that we should be asking ourselves. It's like, what is the purpose, my intention for this Lenten fast? Now, lots of times we approach this like as some kind of challenge. Now, there's a lot of things out there in the world where we challenge ourselves. Now, we go on diets. Now, we go on maybe long hikes, or, you know, marathons and things, or we resolve to learn and study more, to grow in just different areas of life. And these are all great things, and they have a good purpose. But that is not the purpose of this Lenten season. The purpose is to unite ourselves with Jesus Christ, to become in union with Him. And Jesus shows us in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, what praying, fasting, and almsgiving should be. Remember what he says is that when you pray, go into your room, into your closet, you know, and pray with the Father in secret. And then he tells us about fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. You know, basically, what they would do is they'd go around and make themselves look like they were fasting. They look all hungry and, you know, all famished and, you know, just looking exhausted. Well, hey, I'm fasting. You know, look at me. The Lord says, no, don't do that. You know, keep yourself upright, he's saying. You know, wash your head, wash your face, you know, and look presentable, he's telling us. And then in almsgiving, he says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He says, we don't have to go and broadcast it out there, but we do this humbly here. We do it all for Jesus and love with him, to grow in love. And here are a few things that will help us in our fasting. It, of course, what Jesus says, but also other helpful things that will help us to remember and to grow in this time of Lent. Now, remember as we go through the Gospels, there are times when Jesus says that fasting is necessary, especially for the casting out of demons. He says, when you go out and you're going to cast a demon, go, you need some prayer and fasting. Well, what is the purpose of this fasting? It's so we could become more dependent on God. And in this time of fasting, what happens is that our faith grows. So now we have stronger faith to go out and do the works of God. And that's what we should be desiring here, is to have this faith, stronger faith. You know, so that we can be in expectant, have the expectancy and this hope that God will do great things for us because we're dependent on him, because we're staying connected to him. You know, that's what fasting does, is keeps a connection, because it should hurt a little bit or maybe a lot. And as we're fasting, you know, we it could be a time of calling out to the Lord. It's, Lord, help me in this hunger. Or and when we're hungry, maybe we can feed ourselves with something else, like maybe some scripture reading or praying the rosary or something like that, come in adoration. Now do something to replace that when we're depriving ourselves. Another thing here is in fasting, something to remember, which is very important. And it'll help us in observing this command that the prophet Isaiah is telling us, is that when we're fasting and depriving ourselves of things, sacrificing, we need to remember those who go without, the poor, the hungry, and think about them. Now, there's a lot of people out there in the world that don't have food or enough food. Now, they don't have some of the modern conveniences that we do. Life is very difficult for them. There are a lot of people out there who are suffering some really severe hardships. No, and in our time of fasting, of sacrificing, we could learn to empathize with them. You know, become more sympathetic. Empathetic. And then offer prayers for them. And so what does this do for us? It makes us more compassionate, because we can like almost feel their sufferings. And this is the example we see of Jesus, the Son of God, was sent here by the Father, and Jesus, without any hesitation, comes in obedience to do the will of the Father. No, that is, as he comes here, you know, he lowers himself, as the book of Hebrews tells us, that he lowers himself below the angels to take on human flesh. St. Paul goes a little further, that he who is without sin became sin. Not that he's a literal sin or he sinned. No, he took on sinful flesh. At the same time, he's showing us how to conquer sinful flesh. That's what he does. So here he is, Jesus, becoming man, living a human life. And so, like the book of Hebrews later tells us, it says that Jesus experienced everything we experience except for sin. And this is why we could boldly go to him to this throne of mercy and grace because he understands humanity. And he will show us how to overcome the temptations and the evil of the world. Jesus is the answer for all this. And so this is what we come into, is this kind of compassion, this kind of charity of Jesus when we're sacrificing and we're thinking about those who have not, those who are hungry, those who are suffering. And so we go a little further in this and now examining where we at in this time. You know, this is a good opportunity to come closer to Jesus and to be people of charity, of great love in him. Because at the end of it all, you know, when the Lord calls us to this particular judgment, to the final judgment, yeah, he's going to ask what we did, give an account of your stewardship. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, we should be doing good works. You know, we should be, learning and praying and being with the Lord. But he's going to ask much more how you did it. Did you do it with love? Did you do it my will? He says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? To do things in love. And that's what we see of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was with Samaritan woman at the well, and afterwards, you know, the disciples asked him and says, "Hey, you know, you're hungry. We got some food." And he says, right there immediately, he says, "My food is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish His work." See, that was what driving him. That was everything about him, was his gaze on the Father, his connection with the Father, and it's all love there. Perfectly loving the Father, coming and doing and sacrificing himself, dying for love of us. That's his food right there. And that's what should be our food as well. And then later on in the crucifixion scene, we hear Jesus say, "I thirst." And Jesus is saying many things in that statement there. Of course, he's saying that he thirsts for us to come to him for our souls, so that he can pour his love into us. At the same time, he's saying that he thirsts to accomplish this great work of the Father, to go and to ascend with the Father at his right hand, and that the Holy Spirit will come forth. Now, that is what he's thirsting for. And this is now what we need to remember as we go forward in Lent, is that we be in union with Jesus, that our hunger, that our thirst be to do the will of God and to love like Jesus Christ. This, with these intentions, we would definitely grow in holiness, definitely have a blessed Lent and a glorious Easter. God bless you all.